The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The New York tri-state area just experienced a 4.8 earthquake.
It was a 4.8 magnitude earthquake that was centered, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, in New Jersey, about 50 miles west of New York City. But it was felt all over the tri-state, several seconds of sustained shaking. Damage assessments are being done here in New York City by the police and fire departments.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Hey, thank you for joining me today. This is going to be an extraordinary show, and I hope you can stay with me for all 3 hours. If you've got to run, hit the podcast, okay? Maggie will have it up when the show is over and share it with someone else. Today, I want to take a look at this plethora of earthquakes that are being reported all over the planet. There's some celestial events that are taking place, too. We're going to get into the eclipse. Dr. Mark Miravalli will be stopping by. Of course, we've got the Feast of the Annunciation coming up on the 8th, just on the other side of this weekend. But this weekend, we'll also be talking about the Great Feast of Divine Mercy. We'll pray the chaplet today. I hope you'll join me for that. In fact, tell others to join us. Let's make it a big prayer family today, and we'll storm heaven. We're on the eve of one of, I think, the greatest days on the church calendar, one of my favorites. It'll be the eighth day of the octave of Easter. Divine Mercy Sunday, and I'll fill you in what the Lord revealed to St. Faustina, the promises that are available, the extraordinary graces that you can tap into. And before we get to that, Father Michael Moses will be stopping by. We're going to talk to him about confession. So like I said, it's going to be a great show because one of the requirements for your indulgence or for the extraordinary promise, and you can get both, we'll tell you about that, is confession, sacramental confession and reception of the Eucharist. So lot to get into today. It's going to be wild. I was, getting ready for today's broadcast, and I had the TV on in the background, and I look up, and all of a sudden I hear a news report that a 4.8 magnitude earthquake struck this morning in the tri-state area, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. And 42 million people are in that area. 42 million people jolted by a magnitude 5 earthquake this morning. And the quake centered in an area near Lebanon, New Jersey. It's a small town about 20 miles from the PA border. And the quake was felt as far north as Vermont. New Hampshire felt it. Boston was reporting shaking. The New York governor, Kathy Hochul, said it's one of the largest earthquakes to hit the East Coast in a century. In fact, it's the largest earthquake to strike since 1884. Nobody alive today has ever experienced an earthquake like this. Now, it was shallow. It wasn't very deep, unlike the one that took place in Taiwan. And thank God, look, no reports of serious injuries or really damage. I sat back and I was thinking, this is bizarre. Right, I mean, it really is bizarre. That many states feeling these tremors. What's going on the Earth's core? You know, Maria Esperanza Medrano de Bianchini, the mystic from South America, she once said to me that the Earth's core is out of balance. And I'm like, well, what does that mean, right? Clearly, we're seeing seismic activity, right? And look, I don't want to read too much into this. I'm not here to have you fearful. But when I see some of these events, what do they do for me? They don't cause me to fear. They cause me to pray. Right? That's what they do. I say, Lord, you're in control of everything, even the movements of the tectonic plates, right? So we shouldn't fear when we see these things, but I think we're foolish to ignore them. That's my personal take. You know, this comes today, and this is what really kind of motivated me to want to talk a little bit about this. This comes on the heels of a 7.4 magnitude earthquake that hit Taiwan. It hit that island nation just a couple days ago. It was Wednesday that we reported that, right? 12 people were killed. Okay, not a whole lot, but the loss of any life is too many. Thousands were injured. 700 people there are still missing. 700 people missing. The number of aftershocks that keep hitting that country, too, they persist. That area of the world is really volatile when it comes to earthquakes. But check this out. On the Pacific side of this nation, There have been more earthquakes have been reported in the Pacific Ocean off of the coast of Oregon and Vancouver, British Columbia. There were 7 earthquakes off of Oregon on Tuesday. It included one that measured 5.7 on the Richter scale. But here's the one that really got my attention. I mentioned this a little bit earlier in the week. I saw a report out of Life Science, and they were reporting a couple weeks ago, and this, I guess, flew under the radar. Maybe it wasn't a big deal. But when there are 2,000 earthquakes in a day, that should get the world's attention. That took place 150 miles off of Vancouver's coast, right? You know what the scientist said in this article I was reading? The scientist said, and I want to quote him if I can find it. I can't find it here. Basically, the scientists believe that the new oceanic crust is about to be birthed through a deep sea rupture, and it's going to allow magma to surface. They basically think that the ocean floor is tearing apart. It's kind of how they put it. According to Life Science, the Pacific and the Juan de Fuca plates are pulling apart. So that fault line stretches, it creates a long linear fault line. A lot of thin crust, it'll enable magma to basically percolate up. And when the magma reaches the surface, it cools, it hardens, it becomes new ocean crust. There's a lot going on, though. We're not done yet, though, all right? We are not done. I don't know about you, but all these earthquakes, they make me wonder about what's going on. I don't know how you feel about it. We can talk about it. Dr. Miravalli will be stopping by. On top of that, just to give you one other element, and there were others. I won't go through the litany of earthquakes. There's a lot of seismic activity. How about this one? I remember when I was a kid, these cicadas. I don't remember this, though. Once every 221 years, there is an outbreak of cicadas that are going to supposedly start happening this month. I mean, they go through, the 17-year cycle? We're having, what was the term that they used? Maggie just said in my headset, is it a plague? It sounds like a plague, doesn't it? You know, with all this pestilence that is now coming up. What did they call it? They called this cicada a once-in-a-200-year event. They called it, somebody had a cool term for it, cicada apocalypse or whatever it was. But it's a 221 years since this happened. It's a rare outbreak. It happens, you know, when a 13-year brood coincides with a 17-year brood outbreak. The last time that happened was 1803 when Thomas Jefferson was president. This outbreak, you know, probably is not a sign, but all these things are, you know, kind of merging, right? There's this confluence of events. And what do the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke say? What does the Lord warn? I'm just going to throw this out. This is just for your rumination, right? This is up to you to determine. I'll pull a line from the pages of Scripture that always resonates with me. And all three gospel writers refer to it. They say, for nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Are we seeing nation against nation? Yes, we are. There will be earthquakes in various places. Are we seeing earthquakes? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There will be famines. Uh-huh. There will be pestilence. This is but the beginning. You know, I find that striking. And I'm just going to throw out the world events to you because that's what I kind of do in the opening of the show. I'll also tell you what St. Faustina said. You want to hear about that now, or should I save that for a little bit later? Maggie says, tell us. Okay, and then I'll grab a phone call or two, too, for you. I was thinking about these particular events in light of divine mercy. And the Lord told Faustine, as I mentioned the other day, he says, speak to the world about my mercy. And he says, let the world know. Let them recognize my unfathomable mercy, because it is a sign of the end times. He says, after this will come the day of justice. While there is still time, have recourse to my mercy. He says, he told Faustina, and she wrote this down, diary entry 965, the awful day, the day of my justice is near. But the Lord wants everybody to turn to his mercy. That's what this is about. Like, I don't think on April 8th, the world's going to end. I don't think there's going to be some of our Protestant brothers and sisters think a rapture. I don't think. Look, I think when darkness shadows eight cities named Nineveh, two in totality, the others with partial, I think you should just reflect on that for a minute. Right? Nineveh was given warnings. They responded the right way. Champion, Wisconsin, was given warnings. The Fatima seers gave warnings to the world. I mean, all these things, my wife's don't scare people. And she kind of gave me a chastisement today. You know, she was like, I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not, really. I'm just here to say, just take a walk. Let's read the winds, right? And let's do what Our Lady has asked us to do over and over again, and that's pray. Pray especially the rosary for peace, right? Let's pray the chaplet, which is coming up. The Lord said, the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to my mercy, right? Let's pray and let's amend our lives. That's the key. The Lord also said this, and this is what Father Seraphim Michelenko said, and I didn't intend to talk about this. Dr. Mark Miravalli will be stopping by, and there's so much to get into on this. In the diary of St. Faustina, there are numerous entries in which she refers to the times in which we live. The Lord said he chose her to be the secretary of his mercy, to prepare the world, he says, for his glorious return. Now, I don't know the day or the hour, neither do you, and this could be 2,000 years from now. But the Lord said this. He said to Faustina, he says, secretary of my mercy. Write and tell souls about this great mercy of mine. Because the awful day, the day of my justice is near. Do not tire of proclaiming my mercy. Tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy and let mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy because it is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. He says, right before I come as a just judge, I first open wide the door of my mercy. He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. You know, Our Lady in many of her apparitions is saying this is a time of prayer. And she's saying to the world, you know, God is permitting my visitation to you. This is a time of grace. It's a time of mercy. She's coming with this urgent message for us to return to her divine Son. Look, our future could be a really bright one. It could be a glorious one. Right? Well, what do we have to do? Just do what the people in Nineveh did. Let's sacrifice. Let's pray. Let's amend our lives. Let's return to God. Let's stop killing babies. Let's stop euthanizing the elderly. Right? Let's stop distorting human sexuality. Right? Let's stop rejecting God. And let's start in earnest to return to him. If we do, I tell you what, the floodgates of God's mercy will flow. We've got a lot to talk about today. Let me welcome to the conversation as we get into this. We'll take a few of your calls, too. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149. It's a delight to have Dr. Mark Miravalli with me again. He holds the St. John Paul II Chair in Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and the Constance Shifflin Bloom Chair of Mariology at Ave Maria University. Doctor, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. And I think you're just doing a wonderful job, once again, earning your cyber PhD in theology in setting the stage. I mean, I think the best context for understanding April 8th is April 7th, the Feast of Divine Mercy. And as you appropriately read from the diary, our Lord always wants mercy first.
Yep.
But we have to remember that justice is a virtue. Justice is not God losing his temper and irrationally letting things fly. Justice is giving one their due. And we've got to take a look at our present situation of our country from the top down. We have a president who on the day of Easter, the day of the resurrection, talked about transgender visibility. We have a vice president who went to an abortion mill and hallowed it as a important service for the dignity of woman. We have the abortion. We have the human trafficking, of which we are the major benefactors globally. We also produce more porn than any other country in the world. And again, we have this new transgenderism, where I was just thinking, Drew, as I was, on hold, would it really be possible that for all of human existence, we had two sexes, but just in the last 5 years, we discovered 20 other sexes that God really intended? This is preposterous. And yet we're putting this forward, and all of it, as you well said, all of it is either an explicit or implicit rejection of God. So, of course, we can look at symbolism about the Annunciation on Monday, and the fact that it's the moved feast, as we all know, and the solar eclipse. But here's the reality. They're biblical images. Jesus is light. Darkness, especially in John's gospel, is signified by evil. Revelation 12 talks about a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet. And what is she doing? She's battling the dragon. So what are we going to have on Monday? Well, we're going to have a solar eclipse. We're going to have darkness. We're going to have a comet called the Devil's Comet, which appears every 70 years. So we're going to have light, Our Lady, darkness, and a symbolism of the devil. I think these are signs that are worthy of consideration. And let me throw out just real briefly, Drew, Pascal's wager on this. Let's say all of it is without any symbolic meaning. But this is just all our hyperbolic thought. Okay.
Yep.
Well, is the abortion gone? Is the euthanasia gone? No. Is the porn gone?
No.
These are all there. So we need to convert anyway. Now, what if it really is a sign from God? And does God use nature to instruct his people? Absolutely. If you believe in the Bible, you must believe that God uses nature. That's why we have the 10 plagues of the Old Testament. And so we have every positive reason to see this as an encouragement for our country to convert, because it's not the God, faith, family country that the founding fathers started. That's simply fact. And we do need serious conversion. And the Nineveh, I've had Drew, people say, well, there's only, two in the totality and then three of the partial totality. One might be a little bit out. I think they're kind of missing the big point. The point is several cities and towns, whether they're incorporated or not, are called Nineveh. And it starts with a town called Jonah in Texas. Once again, we need to do Nineveh regardless of whether you believe in the six or seven cities. That's a reality for us today. And Nineveh converted from the top down. We're not going to expect that, Drew. Quite frankly, we're going to have to convert from the bottom up, because we're not going to have a king of Nineveh saying, I believe this, let's do sackcloth and ashes. Unfortunately, our tops seem to be serving the other direction. So it's got to start with us, and that's okay. We can do it. But that's the reality I think we're facing.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. We're going to talk for a little bit together. I know you might have a question, a concern. You want some clarity or perspective. 888-914-9149. We'll go right to the phones. Dr. Steve is in Clearwater, Florida. Steve, good afternoon.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about a possible connection between eclipses and earthquakes.
Sure.
When Jesus died, they said it turned dark.
Yeah.
And we do know from computers that there were eclipses in around 2033 and 2029, I believe. So it's very possible that's what was happening. Also, it says in the Bible, and I forgot where, that there was an earthquake at the time and when he died. So those two things are connected. And another thing is, you know how the moon moves the tides? Like you said, it can move tectonic plates, too. Now, the sun can have an effect on tectonic plates, and it has an effect on the tides, but it's much weaker. But when would the maximum stress be on the Earth from the gravitational pull of the moon and the sun? When they're exactly in the same spot, because the gravitation fields would be absolutely additive. It would be the maximum pull on the tectonic plates. So there may be an actual reason why these earthquakes are occurring right now, because the sun already is getting close to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I wanted to say, think of this sentence, and it was, I heard this on the radio, could have been on your station. Think of the cave, pretend you were standing outside the sepulcher where Jesus was being resurrected.
Yep.
And it said, the rock moved away and the sun reappeared. Yep. Now think of the picture of the eclipse. The rock, which is the moon, mm-hmm. moved away and the sun reappeared.
Okay. All right, Steve, let me let Dr. Mirvali respond to you. We'll talk a little bit about that. Doctor, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of significant symbolism. I like the gravitational dimension. That's something I certainly wouldn't know on my own, and I think that's a fascinating fact. I mean, even the oddity of having the moon, you know, has to be so far away from the sun to have this happen, where it, and even though the moon's a little wobbly compared to the sun, to have this blackout, but that, I think the symbolism is very rich. You know, I was contacted by a woman physician today, and she said, you know, there's a lot of talk about even the 28-year lunar cycle, you know, from Fatima to Akita, to Amsterdam to Akita. She said, well, you know, are men forgetting that? There's also the 28-day womanly cycle, a monthly cycle, and that, in fact, there seems to be a real feminine move by Our Lady to lead us back to the sun. What's the purpose of the 28, you know, day monthly cycle? To be open to life, to be able to participate in life. And so heaven is sending Our Lady to try to save life.
Yeah.
And in this period. So I think the symbolisms are powerful.
All right. Frank is in Philadelphia. Frank, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Doc. My experience isn't a scientific. Mine was a fun experience. I'm in Philadelphia. You know where that's at, Drew. I'm about a mile from Jersey.
I certainly do, yep.
Yes, and initially it was very gradual. The whole thing lasted 15, 20 seconds. Initially, I just saw the jackhammer. I'm like, no, because the windows are vibrating, the door is moving, not moving, it's like shaking, the floor is moving, couch is moving. But for 3 seconds, Drew, I was thinking April 8th is early. It's supposed to be a warning. There was like 3 seconds of fear. And then announced an earthquake. I thought it was pretty cool because I never experienced one before. But we thought in Philadelphia, and I liked it. As far as I know, there was no damage anywhere in Philadelphia. Just everyone has a great story to tell. That's all.
I'm glad you called in to share. I'm delighted to hear that. And let me just give perspective for those who may not know. They might have headed to work and been in the office since 8 a.m. or 9 o'clock. There was a 4.8 earthquake. Dr. Mirvali, I actually called him around noon his time or so, and he was unaware because he was on an airplane. 4.8 on the Richter scale, and it hit the tri-state area. No damage, thank God, but people felt it the strongest earthquake in that part of our country since 1884. It comes on the heels of that earthquake, as I talked about, in Taiwan. Comes on the heels of the 2000 earthquakes that were off of the coast of Canada. It comes on the heel of another earthquake, 7 earthquakes, in fact, that were felt off the coast of South Oregon. There's a lot going on. Is it connected ultimately to the moon and to the solar eclipse, or is there more to the picture than meets the eye? I'll tell you what, I need to take a short break. When we come back, just to give you some perspective, you know how I like to tie things together for you, how I like to at least present things for you to think about? I'll share with you a number of other unusual celestial events that are taking place that give you something to think about. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
If Mary is queen over creation, if she's queen over the angels, she's also queen of things like the sun. That means she participates in the power of God over things of creation. God has granted her that ability. Fully human, always human, but a participation in the divine to the extent that God wants her in these various roles.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's such a great insight to it. I think of Our Lady in particular when it comes to celestial events under the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And where do we see her there? When she came in the geocenter of the Americas, north and south, to vanquish, to exterminate, if you will, a culture of death where human sacrifice was rampant among the Aztecs. She came clothed in the sun, right? She stood on the moon, crescent moon, and behind her were these beautiful rays. We have a solar eclipse that's going to take place on April 8th in our country. It's known as the Great North American Eclipse. It's going to cast its shadow from Texas to Maine, and it is heralded right now as the astronomical event of the decade. To me, it's amazing. At the same time, and I'll just give you a few other unusual events, and then let's talk about how we're called to respond. Among the celestial phenomena is something called the Devil's Comet, and it will be visible in the Northern Hemisphere. It has been gone this is the first time you're going to see it, for the first time in 71 years. And Maggie was just asking me, why is it called the Devil's Comet? Because it used to, I don't know if it still does, but when this thing passed before, it had horns. That's how they got it, and a tail. Meanwhile, there are other things going on. There are rare planetary alignments. There was, I think it was April 4th that this took place. There was a Venus, Neptune, Saturn, and Mars were in a celestial confluence, a prelude to what will be an even rarer straight line alignment of the sun and the moon and seven planets on the day of the eclipse. They claim, now listen to this, this is what struck me. They claim this configuration will not replicate itself for another 32 million years. 32 million years. So you've got a planetary alignment, you've got a straight line alignment. You've got the Devil's Comet, which is coming. You've got, oh, one other thing outside of the celestial. I was reading the other day that the Hadron Collider, CERN's Large Hadron Collider, they're going to activate that on April 8th, coinciding, I think, ominously with this Great Northern American eclipse. You also have this total eclipse, which will go from Texas to Maine. You've got the cicada apocalypse, as I have talked about, trillions of cicadas emerging from the ground simultaneously, a phenomenon that has not occurred since, in 221 years. And then, of course, there's others who say, hey, Drew, what about that red heifer sacrifice speculation? Social media right now is abuzz with a potential red heifer sacrifice in April in Jerusalem. Who knows? I'm just throwing it out there for you. I'm putting it all on the table. You can think about it. You can discern. What I take away from it is a call to pray, to amend my life, to return to God, to add added sacrifice. Ask God for his mercy, to call upon his protection over this country from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war. And I'm joined right now by a man who prays a prayer very similar to that every day. Dr. Mark Miravalli joins us, one of our nation's most gifted Mariologists. And doctor, it's great to have you back. That prayer, and I think it's important. We can talk about all these things. We'll take a few more calls too, but I think we need to turn to pray in this. I don't think the world's ending April 8th. I don't think anything else. I think we're going to see an intensification of events, and I think they're going to ramp up. That's my personal take. We'll see what happens. But your thoughts on the confluence of so many things in such close proximity, and what it should really call us to do.
Yeah, Andrew, I couldn't help but think as you were talking about this, the great quote from Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen says about the solar miracle at Fatima on October 13th, 1917. He said, Mary uses the sun as if it's a trinket on her wrists to say that she does have power over atomic power so that we will go to her to save us from our own destruction through potential atomic power. And so if you connect the solar miracle at Fatima with, for example, the church-approved mystical experience in Akita, Japan, where on October 13th, 1973, the anniversary of the solar miracle, Our Lady warns about fire falling from the sky and a great part of humanity being lost, a great part of humanity should cause us a respectful awe. We should be pulled back by that. And I think that's the value of you doing this program, Drew. We need to, if the mother wants us to know of these things, then we should know about them because it'll cause us, lead us, encourage us, sustain us in more generosity. And so as we talk about things like prayer, I strongly, strongly encourage our listeners, and I know you pray this prayer every day as well, Drew, a prayer that is absolutely church approved. You can get it by going to motherofallpeoples.com. Just go to the homepage, go to the bottom of the homepage. You can get this prayer for free. It's a prayer asking Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to prevent degeneration, disaster, war. Now, what could possibly be wrong with that prayer? I believe the prayer has a remarkable power before the throne of God. So again, you want this prayer, you can go to motherofallpeoples.com, go to the homepage. And if you're not as up on the net, sometimes we get some senior citizens saying, you know, you guys do everything through the net. Well, you can just email us at mary@motherofallpeoples.com, mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Name and address, how many prayer cards you want. But it is time to pray to the mother, because all of this, Drew, the fact that this is all happening on the Annunciation is another way of saying,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
This is the remedy. She is the remedy. Why? Because Jesus has posed her to be the remedy. That's why she says it, both Fatima and Akita, Drew, almost verbatim. I alone can save you from the calamities that approach. She says the same thing at Fatima and at Akita. So we've got to believe that and respond to her message. And that includes the Eucharist, Rosary. I think it's very much time that if we're going to do the Nineveh thing, we got to include some fasting, Drew, even moderate fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. That's the way Nineveh did it. That's the way we should be doing it. And this prayer, I strongly encourage this prayer. So you can go to motherofallpeoples.com. We'll send it out free of charge. We've got an English and Spanish. It's time to respond to the mother because she is the remedy.
Let me ask you about fasting for just a minute, because I mean, this is, you know, Easter. We fasted for 40 days. We're going to feast for the next 50, right? I still want to fast during these times. Do you encourage people to do that even during the Eastertide?
Yeah, I think during the octave, we rejoice.
Okay.
After that, I think, quite frankly, things are too tenuous to think that we can go 40 days without prayer and fasting. So we can celebrate the joy of the resurrection and still give up meat and treats on Wednesdays and Fridays, for example. So during the octave, I think we rejoice with the church. But and isn't it interesting, Drew, that from April 8th, 40 days, you know, going back to Nineveh, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed unless we respond. Well, 40 days from the Feast of the Annunciation, it's the eve of Pentecost. So, I mean, could something, you know, terrible happen on Monday? Well, of course, God can do whatever he wants with that. But I think if we're following the biblical format, it's more, this is the sign. This is the encouragement. This is the motivation to get back to God, faith, and family for our country. If not, we'll see what comes for our country. But I think this is a time of mercy before justice. But I think if we don't respond, we should expect justice, and it won't be easy, I don't think. I think it's going to be serious.
I agree with you. I do. I totally agree with you. Armando is listening in Salinas, California. Armando, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, so I have, like, maybe, like, a compound-type question. I'm not sure. But I wanted to ask, with all these signs of possible end times, what your guys' thoughts were on the moon turning this reddish tint, like blood, and then also how NASA plans to launch rockets at the moon, and they named the rockets after a demon.
Interesting. Doctor, are you familiar with the red moon? I'm not of a titting red. Blood moons often happen.
There are the blood moons. Of course, you know, there's the, you know, the strong references of our Lord with, you know, the moon turning red. And I personally think that there's more to come. I think you said it before the breakthrough. I think things are ratcheting up. I think this is the beginning. I think more towards the finality of the purification we need, there'll be, you know, more signs of darkness. But I think this is a gradual conditional way that God is trying to get us to respond to his mercy. But I think the bigger darkness comes later. But it's all, I think, part of the invitation for conversion.
Armando, you bring up a good point, too. I forgot to mention NASA on April 8th as well, doctors, are going to be launching three rockets. I didn't know they were named after demons, so they're going to launch them into the moon shadow during the eclipse at different times. They'll be doing some experimentation, which is kind of cool. I look forward to see what they come out with, what kind of imagery.
Yeah.
There's even, I forget what airline's doing this, they have eclipse flights where you can charter a flight and check it out. So,
yeah, well, let me add one other thing,
yeah,
just to add more spice, as if we don't have enough.
Yeah, please.
On Monday, the Vatican is going to release a document transgender ideology.
Right. That's right.
And that's a kabam. And you can be, I think, quite sure that the Vatican is going to come out, as we talked about early in the program. This is not loving, Drew. It's not loving to confirm error. It's never loving to confirm error. And so what we really have to ask is, why do you feel so unloved that you want to do harm to your external to try to change your internal? Well, that's never going to happen.
Right.
And so instead of confirming this, we've got to be loving these people more and asking, how can we fill in the love gap? Yeah. Not saying, do it and become more visible.
Well, so I'll give everyone a quick programming heads up. If you enjoy my broadcast, join me Monday. I will talk on Monday about the New Madrid Fault. This is where the eclipse crosses. It has an X line. That is a fault line in the middle of our country, and it has a very unique history to it. We'll talk the Annunciation, but after the chaplet, we're going to explore this Vatican's new document. As Doctor points out, they're going to unveil a dignity document. I don't know what the exact title of it is, but it comes out also on April 8th, the day of these eclipses. We'll go back to the phones. 888-914-9149. Peggy is in Wisconsin. Peggy, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Miravalli. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm kind of off the key now of what you guys are talking about now. At the beginning, I was thinking more about missile testing over the oceans and that being related to an increase in earthquakes and what you might think about that.
Yeah, I myself am woefully ignorant as to, you know, the missile testing process and kind of the scientific ramifications. Drew, do you have any?
No, I have no idea in terms of, you know, what missile testing the government has done. Maggie, are you aware of that? I don't know if she is, if she's putting her headsets on. Did you want to jump in, Mag?
Yeah, they are launching three missiles into the eclipse's path to study, they say, the ionosphere, what happens in the darkness. I'm trying to find the last caller mentioned something about the name of these
rockets,
and it is confirmed. I'm trying to find it here, but they're named after a serpent deity. I'll let you know.
And I think Peggy was talking about, you know, maybe military exercises or setting off bombs that might affect the Earth's crust. I just think nature, during the crucifixion, of course, we know, as we had an earlier caller point out, right? The rock split in two, the Earth darkened. When sin enters the world, right, Doctor, disorder also enters. And I think nature, in some respects, rebels against the evil that we are seeing here in the world today. And you know, it almost cries out for God's vengeance. But your thoughts on that? I don't want to get too, you know, dramatic.
No, look, once again, either God can use nature to save human beings or he can't. He does. He uses nature. And this is ways to stir us. You know, it's interesting. About three secular psychologists, Drew, commenting on the eclipse, say it'll bring human beings awe, and that will make them a little bit more humble. Now, this is totally outside of faith.
Wow.
These are psychologists saying seeing something happen in the sky will be otherworldly enough that it'll help people think a little bit more of their fellow man. Well, if that's just a totally secular idea of what happens with a celestial event like this, well, then of course God can use that to redouble, to exponentially increase our examinations of how really ultimately dinky we are. We're just little folk after all, and he's a very big God. And we don't have that proportion right now. We kind of think we're very big because we're trying to create life, and we stop life when we want, and we change life, and we change sexuality. And so we need a radical conversion. And that's another positive element of this physiological celestial event.
Great. Doctor, I have to take a short break. We're going to take a few more telephone calls here when we come back. The final 10 or 15 minutes of Dr. Biravalli, if you want to get in, feel free to join us at 888-914-9149. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air. Maggie, you said you just found what you were looking for.
I did. So this mission is known as APEP, short for Atmospheric Perturbations Around the Eclipse Path, named for the Egyptian serpent deity and nemesis of the sun god Ra. So APEP is the Egyptian serpent deity of the darkness.
Great.
This is all we need.
That's all we need is
for our country to be naming our missiles. I mean, talk about
fitting though
the boundary of religion
between.
I mean, that's very religious. That's completely anti-religious. Wow. It's anti-Judeo-Christian to be naming it that. So it's this is a sign we're not on the right path as a country in general.
I'll tell you what, I have to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. We'll take your calls. Of course, a chaplet is coming up. It'll be a big day to talk about that. If you missed any of this conversation, by the way, Maggie will have this uploaded for you as soon as we sign off the air. It's well worth listening to again, maybe sharing with some others, and just go wherever your podcasts are found. You can always go to relevantradio.com or to Apple or Google Play as well. Short break, and we'll be back right after this.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Mediatrix of All Graces. She brings us Jesus. She's not the source of the graces. She participates in obtaining the graces as the co-redemptrix with the Redeemer, as the new Eve with the new Adam, but she's not the source. The source is always God. So the moon reflects the light of the sun as Mary reflects the beauty, the light, the graces of Jesus Christ.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was the voice of my guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli. We are giving you a preview of what's going to happen on April 8th, Feast of the Annunciation. Of course, this all coincides with just a confluence of many other celestial and natural, scientific and prophetic events. And I think God's so merciful. I think he loves us so much. I think God is a loving father, does not want to chastise a wayward wayward society like ours. He just wants to draw us back into his love and mercy. That's what he told St. Faustina. He longs for that. But if we reject, his mercy, if we persist in our sin, then out of love, we may see these things. I think of the city of Nineveh in ancient times. It was given a chance to repent and to change and to avoid destruction. And the people responded with prayer and with penance. They put on their sackcloth and their ash, right? Even the king did that. In recent history, we have Fatima. Our Lady warned of what would happen in the 20th century. She called us to pray the rosary, to sacrifice, to pray for the conversion of sinners. Champion, Wisconsin, 1859, the Virgin did the same thing. 12 years to the date of the warning that she gave to Sister Adele Bryce, we had the worst forest fire in recorded history in this country and to this date. These are just reminders, and I can give you a litany of those. So what's a solution? It's prayer. It's sacrifice. It's a return to God. I invite you to get to confession. I invite you to start anew today. Doctor, it's so good to have you with us. Maggie was talking to me during our break. And Maggie, why don't you share with Dr. Miravalli quickly what you shared with me regarding the serpent. And that's a great catch.
Well, I was just saying how fitting to have this cosmic battle once again between the dark serpent and our Lady.
Yeah, doctor, we see her crushing his head, don't we? That's what Scripture tells us.
Yeah, this is Revelation 12 on steroids today. Yep. This is the battle. God's greatest creature against God's most heinous creature. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer of humanity. He's the Lord of all. But Jesus chooses to send his mother, a creature, an immaculate creature, against Satan, his most heinous creature. And that's the battle that we're seeing now. And that's why ultimately it's the Eucharist as remedy. It's more adoration, daily mass if we can make it. It's the rosary every day, families, we've got to be praying that rosary to protect our kids. It's fasting. This is a biblical thing. Jesus says, you know, when the bridegroom is gone, then they shall fast. Well, he's been gone for 2,000 years. So we should be doing something on Wednesdays and Fridays, moderate fasting to do this. And then there's the prayer that I strongly encourage people. They can get it. We'll send it out free of charge. They can go to motherofallpeoples.com. You'll see it at the bottom. I also think, Drew, it's time to simplify life a little bit. And what I mean by that is, let's look and see how dependent we are on things versus people. It might be time to start simplifying, to start getting a little less materially dependent for our joy and peace, and get that from God and faith and family, because I think that's something that's inevitably going to come to all of us.
Well, all right, let's go back to the phones. James is in Sacramento. James, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Dr. Marivali. Yes, I just wanted to offer just an observation, if I could, from the past, since you spoke about Mary being given the grace of power over nature at the Lord's bidding. It may be a fairly famous photo from 1970 of a French nuclear test blast over the Pacific Atoll of Mururoa. And in the stem of the mushroom cloud, it's very clear the crucified Christ, and even clearer than that, to his right within the cloud, in bright white, is Our Lady, and the veil streaming from her head and in her mantle.
It's an amazing photo, James. I remember that. Doctor, you know the photo he's talking about? Have you ever seen that one?
I actually have not. No, I haven't.
Gosh, Maggie, you should do a search for it, and we should put it up on our social media pages. It's an amazing, it's a nuclear test, and in it, clearly, you see a crucified Lord, and as he points out, Our Lady as well. James, I forgot all about that. It's a pretty amazing photo. I appreciate you bringing that to us. And it underlines also, Dr. Lotta, what you're saying. You know, I think Our Lady came, throughout the 20th century, inviting us to pray. And I think the consecration to Our Lady that John Paul did in 84 helped avert this nuclear conflagration that was prophesied in Akita. Right? I mean, she talked about a fire falling from the sky and a large part of humanity being annihilated. Consecration to the Mother of God, I think, brings peace and protection. I'll give you a quick thought on that.
Well, it certainly does. And in fact, you know, Sister Lucia said that had John Paul not done that consecration, there would have been nuclear war in 1985.
Yeah, I believe that.
But I do think, you know, Sister Agnes was asked about that, about the Akita prophecy of fire falling from the sky, and she confirmed in the early 2000s, it cannot be averted, but it can be mitigated. And remember, when heaven says, a large part of humanity will be lost, that should lead us all to generosity, maybe a newfound, maybe praying and fasting like never before. But that part is not going to be averted, but it can be lessened. And that's still very much worth our prayers and our fasting.
Amen. Hey, thank you for the call, James. Appreciate it. John's in Chicago. Hi, John.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. I was just tuning in for the divine mercy. I met Mark over at Franciscan University. We took a picture in the hallway one day. Somebody said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "We're a couple of mama's boys, and we belong to our Blessed Mother." But one other thing, too, I was thinking about is that they're going to send this rocket to Mars. Yeah. And of all the names that they could call it, it was Artemis.
Yeah, the Artemis mission.
And Artemis was the doctor of fertility in Ephesus, and that was their source of money, making these statues. St. Paul went there to talk about it, get rid of it. It's wrong. It's idolatry, and they wanted to beat him to death, and he had to get out of there before they could do that. So it's just to... you know, where are these things coming from? And all of a sudden, it's like so much is coming out of the woodwork.
It's wild. Hey, John, thank you. Yeah. Doctor, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, it really seems like we're asking for it in a certain sense. But fortunately, our Lord is merciful. He'll give us mercy if we receive it. If not, as you said, you know, five times, we'll experience justice, because you can't thwart God, his law, his love, his revelation, and expect to continue to enjoy use all of his gifts, including life and nature. Yeah. That can't go on long. So pray, fast, rosary, Eucharist, and a very important prayer And let's start simplifying our lives a little bit to show that it's God that gives us joy and peace, not things of mammon, not things of the world.
Doctor, you don't think we read too much into this stuff, though? There are some people who think, Artemis, yeah, deity from ancient Greek mythology, the daughter of Zeus. Do we read too much into the names of our rockets, into our missions, into these things? Or do they have a, I don't know, a spiritual shadow of their own?
Well, Drew, I think what it's referring to is the fact of where our minds are. Why would we be naming these things after things that are absolutely anti-Judeo-Christian? Yep. I think that's the point. Not that they're, you know, each rocket has a special demon with it. It's just we are not thinking of God first and yep. honoring him and glorifying him first. And that's why we need a change of heart in our country.
Yeah, well, check out Dr. Miravalli's website, motherofallpeoples.com. I know you've done a couple video presentations there, and I know that prayer is available if anyone wants to pray that we often mention and refer to. And, Doctor, I wish you a happy Divine Mercy Sunday. I hope many graces come your way.
You too, Drew. God bless you. Thanks for all you do.
Always good to talk to you. Stay with me for a second. I want to talk to you. Chapel to Divine Mercy straight ahead, and we will talk about Divine Mercy Sunday. We'll pray the Chaplet of Novenas that we are praying in this novena, and I'll break the Divine Mercy promise and everything down for you coming up. So stay with me. There's more straight ahead.